My guest at this time is Pete Sepp. He's the president of the National Taxpayers Union. He is also an expert that we turn to frequently when debates up on Capitol Hill or at the White House turn to tax policy. And that is the case early on here in the 114th Congress. One of the many problems, of course, that lawmakers are dealing with is how to replenish the Highway Trust Fund. And more media reports, it looks like more and more members are open to increasing the federal gas tax. And Pete, thanks so much for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
Well, the good news, of course, for people across the country is that the price of gas is falling, and in some places it's fallen quite a bit. The average is still north of $2, but that's certainly much brighter than what it was just a few months ago. And so as the prices fall, the tax talk seems to be rising here. Why does this seem to be a fairly popular idea right now?
Well, I guess among some Republicans, there's this belief that the American people will somehow support more federal funding for infrastructure if it will help them get out of traffic jams more quickly and avoid those potholes. The problem is more money throwing at some of these projects by the federal government doesn't necessarily translate into reduced congestion or fewer potholes. There are a mound of pork barrel projects that often get funded in highway bills. We also have a severely inefficient distribution of the funding, whereas, for example, many states that give a lot of gasoline taxes to the federal government and diesel taxes don't get back a lot of funding in return. There are many better solutions to this infrastructure funding problem than simply raising taxes. And it's very important to remember that the gasoline tax, although it's buried in the price of a gallon of gasoline, is still something that many people will feel almost immediately when they fill up at the pump every week. It's not something necessarily like an income tax or payroll tax increase, which might be barely perceptible if it's handled, say, on a monthly basis or biweekly basis in paychecks.
Pete, you bring up several good points. I want to follow up on quite a few of those. Number one, why are Republicans seemingly more warm to this idea than Democrats? Traditionally speaking, it's Republicans that have presented themselves as in favor of, if not lower taxes, at least holding the line on taxes.
Well, perhaps they believe that because the gasoline tax and diesel fuel tax is a levy on the consumption of a good or service, that's better than doing something like an income tax increase. Well, from an economic standpoint, a consumption tax increase would probably cause less economic damage than an income tax increase, but the damage would still be there. Plus the fact that if diesel fuel taxes increase, there will be especially a ripple effect in other kinds of goods and services and their prices, because so many of the things that we buy, whether it's toys or food or pizza delivery for that matter, are provided through vehicles that run on gasoline or diesel fuel. Well, raise the price of the input, the fuel, and you may very well end up raising the price of the good or service. That may not appear quite likely right now because the price of the fuel is going down anyway, but we always have to be careful not to tempt politicians into raising taxes simply because it might be convenient.
What about the likelihood at some point that gas prices are going to go back up, maybe not as far as they were, but higher than they are now?
Well, we have been blessed so far by the oil drilling revolution using horizontal drilling techniques that have been able to unlock all kinds of resources in the United States. We will likely be the world's largest oil producer by the end of the year, which is an incredible feat. The problem is the federal government through the EPA and even some state and local governments might get in the way of this energy revolution by either increasing taxes, you could do it on gas, gasoline. You could certainly raise taxes on oil and gas companies, and if that were to occur, well, the price would start going up again. And there are many policymakers, unfortunately, who believe that oil and gas companies, for example, are making too big of a profit and need to have discriminatory taxes levied against them. The EPA is always looking out for opportunities to overregulate shale gas production. And while that may not have a ripple effect on motor vehicles, it certainly would on electricity prices. And you would open up a whole new can of worms there. So we can't necessarily count on good low energy prices until we get a stable energy policy out of our federal, state, and local governments who recognize the value of good, abundant, affordable energy.
Last question on this part of the topic, Pete. Charles Krauthammer, in his syndicated column this week, says he's in favor of a gas tax hike but would want to offset it with a tax cut elsewhere. His specific proposal was to raise the federal gas tax by a dollar but then reduce FICA taxes by a dollar and essentially have it offset. Pluses, minuses, what do you make of that?
That might mitigate some of the economic damage from a gasoline or diesel tax increase. We would have to be very careful, though, that Congress actually follows through on such a swap. We have been promised these kinds of things before at many levels of government. It's been characteristic, for example, for states to promise property tax relief if only their residents would agree to a tax increase on sales or incomes. And the relief doesn't come through, but the tax increases do come through. We'd have to be very careful with that. The other issue is, are there alternatives to raising more revenues from fuel taxes in the first place? And there certainly are. We can look at the use of tolls for additional highway capacity. The technology is there, and user fees would probably make much more sense than the gas tax, which is kind of an ill-targeted tax. It's no longer really correlated very well with road use because of the way that certain vehicles get better mileage over others.
Pete, you mentioned tolling as a possible alternative to tinkering with the tax code. What are some other ways that might be more fiscally responsible and certainly better for the pocketbooks of taxpayers?
One huge way would be enacting the Safe and Efficient Transportation Act. What this would do is allow states to have heavier trucks on their roads, not bigger trucks, but heavier trucks with a fifth axle to distribute the weight, minimize the pavement damage. And what you do by allowing the heavier trucks is you allow more efficient loads to be put on them. When that happens, you have fewer trucks on the road, and in the end, you get less congestion and less repair needs on many roads around the country. That's just one idea to help not only reduce emissions, but reduce congestion and reduce fiscal pressures on our infrastructure. We have to start thinking in smart ways like this before we immediately resort to the tax option.
Final question, what do you expect to happen?
I think that this is largely, so far, a trial balloon, an attempt by Republican lawmakers to see just how far they may be able to push the tax increase envelope. Hopefully, the American people will push back and say, look, we want to do something about our infrastructure problems, too. Why don't you take a look at the spending first, as well as alternatives to taxation? They're out there, and if lawmakers look hard enough, they'll find them.
Pete, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much, as always, for your time.
Thank you.
Pete Sepp is the president of the National Taxpayers Union. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.